Hey team, welcome back to another episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. Hey team, welcome back to another episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Alan Mountford and Colin Allen, who are representing Team Australia EMS. And if you're not aware of Team Australia EMS, they provide overseas paramedic experiences for students and have competed in Inferno Sim around the world. They're also the same team that run Paramedic Education Australia. Now, today we are talking about Australian graduate paramedics and how they can apply for paramedic EMS positions in America. So thank you guys for joining me today. I'll get you guys to briefly introduce yourself, even though we did our episode back in episode 3 a couple of weeks ago, and to describe a bit about what you guys are doing.
I'm Colin Allen. I'm a senior operations supervisor with QAS and a member of Team Australia EMS. And in particular, the side that looks after international recruitment and international educational tours.
I also work for the Queensland Ambulance Service. Been member of Team Australia for, many years. We're very interested in assisting students with not only with education, but also with finding employment. So we have this opportunity that might be of interest.
Sounds wonderful. So what is this exciting, opportunity that students and graduates can start thinking about and getting involved in?
Okay. So back when we did our last tour pre-COVID in 2019, we were approached by a number of ambulance services in the US who know and have worked with Team Australia in the past. And asked us about the possibility of opening up a channel that would allow Australian graduates or fully qualified paramedics to apply for positions in America working in EMS and in the 911 system. And that involves sponsorship of the visa that's required to go to the US to be able to work. And currently we're putting together a group which will be the proof of concept, and they will be at this stage deployed in Louisiana, Arkansas, Texas, around the southern parts of the US. But we do have other opportunities that will probably come up in the near future for other parts of the US as well.
That sounds really exciting. And you did say that they expedite this visa. So what does that mean for the people who are unsure about that?
Okay. So what it is first of all, just so we make it very clear, if you take a position and you go over to the US, it is for a certain amount of time. You can then stay on, and the organisations that you'd work for would be extremely grateful, and B, would bend over backwards to allow you to stay in the US. But at the end of that time, if you elect not to stay on, once the visa has expired, you are required to return to Australia. Now, there's no guarantee that you would get a position as a paramedic back in Australia, just like if you went to the United Kingdom and tried to come back, there's no guarantee. But you do get a wealth of experience, and which would probably make you a desirable applicant to an ambulance service here in Australia, but there's no guarantee that you could come back and get a job. So basically the way the visa works is it's what they call an E3 visa. It is only open to Australian residents. So unfortunately, if you are not a resident of Australia or you're, say, for example, New Zealand resident and you're not a full-time Australian resident, you can't apply. The visa only works for Australian residents. So what it is a two-year term that you go over there for. The service that we're currently working with, they become your sponsor, and they take care of all the requirements that are required for the visa, and that is all of your educational, all your basic personal details. You have to do criminal checks if you've ever been expelled or refused entry into the United States. If you are married or you have dependents that would need to come with you, they take all that into consideration. And I believe there's even a part on the visa if you've got a furry family member, a dog or a cat, they can even get into the US as well.
Very nice. So that makes a lot of sense, and I think you've stepped it out quite clearly. What is the difference between the American pre-hospital EMS structure in comparison to that of Australia?
Okay, so predominantly in the US, it is a fire EMS 911 system. Most of the major cities in that run a fire department that has paramedics attached to it, and they're firefighter paramedics. We are not in any way, shape or form working with a firefighting department, so you will not be a firefighter paramedic. You'll be based with large private-run organisations who contract all the 911 work. So, for example, one of the places that we're currently recruiting for is that the ambulance service provides all the emergency care, all the emergency transport, all the IHT work, all the aerial ambulance work. They do all of that. If you... yeah, so that's basically what it is. It's certainly not your Los Angeles Fire Department, San Diego Fire Department, or anything like that. They're private companies. So the biggest difference is that in the United States, it's state-run, county-run. We're here, we're state-run. So let's just say if you take a state, I don't know, the size of New South Wales in the United States, it might have... 34 different ambulance services that service that one location. We're in Australia, seven states, seven ambulance services. And then it breaks right down into the counties then. So some counties, if they're very big, on one side of the county, then they might use one ambulance service. On the other side of the county, they'll use another. But all of the placements are 911. It is not PTS work. It is proper paramedic first response.
Awesome. That's a really great way of putting it, and I guess completely different to that of Australia. So, Alan, you guys have taken students over on placement experiences. What types of skills and benefits do students gain from going and doing something in a different country?
Just learning how different actual practices are. For instance, in America, almost all paramedics intubate. It's a requirement and something they have to do before they go over, which we'll do through training. The difference is it's fire-based. The students we take over, then we normally go to fire-based. We go to two fire-based ambulance services and one private ambulance service, which is contracted to the San Diego, the city of San Diego. So they follow up the fire trucks and they do the transport and some of the emergency care. It is different to here where ramping, for instance, is handled very differently in America because hospitals are private there, obviously, and ambulance service can avoid a certain hospital, which puts pressure on the hospital to get the ambulance service back. Otherwise, their labs and things aren't earning any money. So it's handled a little differently there, that sort of thing. And it's good to learn different way things are done. Also learning that America is where EMS was born. So they are pretty keen to teach people and hear, they love to hear new things and see new things. And I think the students from Australia are fantastic, absolutely world-class. And that's hence they've got these visas now to allow Australian paramedics to work in America.
That's great. Thank you for that. And I guess now you just touched on an important point, which is the scope of practice is a bit different. They do intubation and things like that. When people are graduating and applying for these positions that you guys are opening up to go to America, how do you bridge those skills and that knowledge gap that's required?
So basically, to become a paramedic in the US to what we class as a paramedic here, there's three stages you need to get there. So the National Registry of Emergency of for their registration, the EMT, they run it in three ways. You have to have what they call EMTB, which is the basic. Then you have EMTA, which is advanced. And then you sit the final part of that, which takes you to EMTP, which is their paramedic version. That's basically how it works. So we've got an education program based on what are required to get to each of those levels. So it involves some theory. It involves some practical. You work your way through it. We will supply you with the ability to be able to undertake test exams to get you to the level that you need to be at. We have a virtual reality training program that is built with all of the skills and all of the theory and everything that's required to be able to pass that exam. And then when you successfully get to the part where you're EMTA, that's when you would go to the US. You would go and work for the ambulance service that we're currently working with. You would then be on the road for a short time as an EMTA advanced. You would then complete the practical component at the college that they use to train their paramedics. Then you sit the EMTP final theory and the final practical exam, and then you get EMTP and you're a fully licensed, qualified paramedic in the US.
Wonderful. And when we do that sort of in Australia, generally our grad positions can be anywhere from 6 to 12 months. How long does this process take over in America?
Okay, so to give you an idea, the United States takes EMTs and turns them into EMTPs in 9 months. It would not take the students that are selected and given positions that long to do it. Basically, they will arrive in the US at the EMTA ready to go. They will do a short stint so they get the practical on-road time that they need. And then it's at this stage, it looks like a two-week intensive training course at the college. Once that's done, they can sit the exam. So it would depend on how successful they are at passing that. Just so everyone's aware, the organisation that we're dealing with are committed to make sure that you get to that level and pass that exam as quickly as possible. Their exams are a little bit different to ours. They are a very high pass mark. And if you're unsuccessful on the first attempt, you can go back and do it again. But then the organisation would assist you and give you the extra additional educational requirements you need to pass that exam. But they are extremely keen to get them through and ticked off as quickly as they can.
Wonderful. And is that obviously the job climate in Australia generally is that there's a lot of graduates and not enough positions. But reading through your Team Australia EMS website about this, you said that that's the sort of complete opposite situation in America. And do you want to describe, I guess, a little bit, just so our students are aware of that current job climate in America?
So I suppose the simplest way to describe it is, at the moment, looking at statistics that have recently come out, there's about 3,000 people currently in Australia that currently have the certificate in paramedicine that don't currently have a job. If the US could, they'd probably take the lot because they have a chronic shortage across the entire United States.
Yeah, look, much like the rest of the world, there's a shortage of paramedics, and it's how they fill that shortage that counts. So in the States, for instance, they're looking outside of America now to try and assist. The same as the UK looked outside of the UK and they landed on Australia because of the high caliber of student that comes out of the universities and the ease of training them into their system quickly. So instead of taking the full time that it takes, a couple of weeks and you're done because you've got the backing behind you. And that's what they're after. But yeah, they are. I mean, there is a paramedic shortage there. I'm just, you can look it up on the internet anywhere on the GEMS, the Journal of Emergency Medical Services in America. They discuss it on there. Is a paramedic shortage an opportunity or crisis? It's an opportunity for Australians. It's a crisis or Americans, because they can't get people to go in there. As we were explaining earlier, because the Firebase system and the private system are the two systems that run there, the Firebase system, they actually get paid quite well because they're paid as firemen. And that's where people want to be in the fire service. The private services, they want to work there, but it's a different set of working. It's just different to working in the fire service. We all only see the fire service on TV here, you know, 911 and all those things. You see that sort of system, but this, you know, the private system is very, very big, you know, in America, and they contract to the different cities to do their EMS work. So yeah, does that answer the question?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess from there, I may have heard it before and I'm probably going back a little bit, but which service are you guys currently taking intake for?
So the service is PAFID in Kansas. So PAFID have been around since 1967. It's a family-owned business. It's a very big business. They have been out here to student conferences to talk to students, one that was held in Brisbane, about employment within their system. And they're looking, as I said, they're a family-owned business, and don't let that make it sound like a small. They have their own helicopter service. They're a very large ambulance service that are out there. As I said, they've been around 50 years. The managing director is a lady by the name of Jamie Pafford. Was started by her father and her mother 50 years ago. The service, her brother's in the service. And they really have a lot of people in there. They've got, as I said, their own air wing, their own transport wing, their own emergency service wing. And Jamie sits on the board of ambulance advisors to the President of the United States, who advises on where to go, on how emergency medical services are best suited to the public. So, yeah, they're well known. You can have a look them up online as well.
So, yeah, PAFID's opened up into the US Virgin Islands now as well. They also do a lot of disaster relief. So, like, unfortunately, when there's cyclones and that go through places like Haiti and other parts of the US, they have a big deployment capability, and they will deploy paramedics to wherever they're needed. Like Alan said, very big organisation. But, like, if have a look on the web, you can see all about them. But, very... very employee focused. You would not be, like, for example, if you got swallowed up into an organization like a fire department that's got thousands and thousands of employees, you'd be a number. PAFID is very keen that our students or prospective candidates understand that it's a family and they treat everybody like their family.
They've got more than 120 ambulances in service. They've got three helicopters, three fixed wing aircraft, two control rooms. It's a very big service for what they offer out there.
That sounds incredible. Sounds like a really great service to, you know, have a look at and get involved in this opportunity. So how do students who are in their final year or graduates who are looking for a job, how do they apply for this?
Yep. So they go to the website Australian Paramedic Recruitment, which is a subsidiary of Team Australia EMS. You fill in your interest. It's a quick thing. You drop it in, and then it comes to myself and Alan, and then we will come back to you with an email, and then we will start the process. And the process is that we will ask you for certain documents that PAFID require, and that is also required for the visa. They have to make sure first that you can get the visa. Once they get the tick in the box and they're legal people and the US immigration and stuff like that, they'll move to the next stage where they will then check all your paperwork and say, yes, we believe that you are a very good candidate and we'd like to progress it further. They will then conduct interviews, probably the same way we are now with Zoom. Then what they'll do is they will come forward with an offer and say, okay, we are prepared to progress. And then once they say, these are the people we want, we then step in and then we start the training program. We start getting them set up, start getting them all their practice exams and everything that they're going to need to get ready to actually sit the exam, sit the process. And then depending on how they score, it is at that stage where Pafford would come back and say, okay, here's your offer. Do you want to accept this offer? And then basically pack your bags, get yourselves ready, and you'll be heading to the US.
It's on the Team Australia EMS website. And then there's a link there to USA recruitment, which will take you. You can go that way, as look there as well. It'll take you to Australian paramedic recruitment.
Wonderful. I'll pop that into the show notes. So for anyone listening, can just drop underneath the episode link and just see them.
Alexander, one of the things that we'd like to stress is that if in the this first lot, like we've got the hammer down, we're going at 100 mile an hour because they need them urgently and it's the proof of concept. So if you apply and you're not successful in the first round, don't worry, because they will continually recruit. But our advice is if you want to be considered, get in as quickly as you can, because once the first group is selected, we'll be working on the second group, the third group. So they're going to come pretty quick. And we have had a couple of applications already from students that don't graduate until November. But Pafford's already seen their stuff. They are very good candidates. So they'll slot them into that intake at around about then. So, so don't get disheartened if in the first 12 or 15. But, the intakes will get bigger after that.
That's good to know. And is there specific application dates, or is it just put in your application or your expression of interest on the website, and then from there you'll have discussions?
Yeah, so our target date for the first group is early July. That's when Pafford will be, that's when they believe they'll make their offers. And then as soon as that's done, they'll just start on the next one. So roughly 3 months apart, but that's not set in concrete. It just depends the uptake. And it's like anything new. Once you get the first lot through, you'll be able to speed the process up because everyone will understand it better. But please don't be, if you don't get in the first round, don't give up by any stretch of the imagination, because they are eagerly, actively recruiting as hard and as fast as they can.
That's good to know. And so I guess won't keep you guys for too long, because this is great and a good snippet of what students can and graduates that are listening to this can find out about this and go from there. But what can, say, students who aren't ready to graduate yet and interested in this, or people who are in their final year or grads thinking about this, what can they start to do now to be gaining knowledge about the skills and the scope of practice that is a bit different to Australia, and how can they best set themselves up for success?
Okay. The biggest issue that we believe that they will have, and what Pafford believes they will have, is the understanding and the conversion of the drugs across. So read as much of that as you can. Look at what the actual National Registry of EMT registration is. You can get it online. You can go to their website and it will actually tell you the knowledge and the skills that you have to have to be able to pass that exam. So all indications we've got is that theory-wise and practically-wise, our paramedics students are brilliant. Like Alan said before, everybody in the US as an EMTP has to be able to intubate, so understand all of that. But part of our training program is that you'll do that in a virtual world, but then there'll also be instructional videos and that'll be on there that you'll be able to follow step by step. So they're probably the big three. Look at what you need to understand. Look at a skill that you would have to learn that you've never learnt before, which, and intubation is the big one. The drugs and how they convert across. Because remember, we're in kilos, they're not.
Some of the other things is cardioversion, transcutaneous pacemaking, mechanical ventilation, intraosseous infusions, intravenous infusions, including external jugular. So those are some of the things that they do there as a paramedic that you'd have to get a grasp on. You can look up and read up on those things so long.
Sounds good. And so I guess just before finishing up, is there anything that you guys would like to finalize with or explain to those listening that we haven't covered yet?
No, look, I think we've got it pretty well covered. It is, if you're looking to expand your horizons and get skills and knowledge outside of what is currently offered in Australia, or you're just looking for something completely different, my advice is that, put in for it. It's a different world, you might go over there, you might like it. It might, might open up a whole new different lifestyle for you. Promotion over there would, our indications are that it would happen pretty quick because of the skill base that our students have. So you'd be able to work your way through the ranks at a relatively quick pace. Paramedic, senior paramedic, and then if you wanted to, up into management, stuff like that. And as Alan said, the aeromedical side of the business as well. So I reckon, you'd be crazy not to have a go.
Yeah, the EMS system, it's a family. Well, we say it's a family service, but it's a family. The whole EMS system is a family. It's different there to here. People wear the T-shirt of the stations that they work at proudly when they're not working. The public respect them immensely. So it's a good place to work.
That sounds great. Well, for all of those listening that are interested at the moment, put in your application or put in your expression of interest to the link that will pop in our show notes and across social media as well. Thank you so much, Alan and Colin, for explaining this amazing opportunity. And I hope that everything goes well and students and graduates start applying.
Thank you. And thanks for having us back.
Yep, no problems.
Anytime. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. You can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or you can email us at thestudentparamedicpodcast@gmail.com.